Appendix C. Rehearsals. Rehearsing key actions before execution allows soldiers to become familiar with the operation and translate the written plan into physical actions. This appendix describes the different types and techniques of rehearsals. It lists the responsibilities of those involved and contains guidelines for conducting rehearsals. Rehearsal basics. A rehearsal is a session in which the commander and staff or unit practices expected actions to improve performance during execution. ADP 5.0. Rehearsals allow leaders and their soldiers to practice key aspects of the concept of operations. These actions help soldiers orient themselves to their environment and the planned actions of other units before executing an operation. Rehearsals help soldiers build a lasting mental picture of the sequence of key actions within the operation. By seeing superiors' actions, rehearsals also enable soldiers to assume the role of their supervisor or other leaders in the chain of command if that situation were to arise. Rehearsals are the commander's tool to ensure that staffs and subordinates understand the commander's intent and the concept of operations. They allow commanders and staffs to identify shortcomings in the plan that have not been previously recognized. Rehearsals also contribute to external and internal coordination as the staff identifies additional coordinating requirements. Effective and efficient units habitually rehearse during training. Commanders at every level routinely train and practice various rehearsal types. Local standard operating procedures, SOPs, identify appropriate rehearsal types and standards for their execution. Leaders conduct periodic after-action reviews to ensure their units conduct rehearsals to standard and correct substandard performances. After-action reviews also enable leaders to incorporate lessons learned into existing plans and orders or into subsequent rehearsals. Adequate time is essential when conducting rehearsals. The time required varies with the complexity of the mission, the type and technique of rehearsal, and the level of participation. Units conduct rehearsals at the lowest possible level using the most thorough technique possible with the given time available. Under time-constrained conditions, leaders conduct abbreviated rehearsals, focusing on critical events determined by reverse planning. Each unit will have different critical events based on its mission, unit readiness, and the commander's assessment. A rehearsal is a coordination event, not an analysis. It does not replace wargaming. Commanders wargame during the military decision-making process, known as MDMP, to analyze different courses of action to determine the optimal one. Rehearsals practice that selected course of action. Commanders avoid making major changes to operation orders, op-ords, during rehearsals. They make only those changes essential to mission success and risk mitigation. Rehearsal types. Each rehearsal type achieves a different result and has a specific place in the preparation timeline. The types of rehearsals are the back brief, combined arms rehearsal, support rehearsal, battle drill or SOP rehearsal. Back brief. A back brief is a briefing by subordinates to the commander to review how subordinates intend to accomplish their mission. Subordinates perform back briefs throughout preparation to allow commanders to clarify intent and provide additional guidance early in subordinate planning. Commanders use the back brief to identify any problems in the concept of operations. Back briefs are performed sequentially, in which subordinate leaders review assigned tasks and planned actions from start to finish of the operation. When time is available, back briefs can be combined with other types of rehearsals to allow subordinate leaders to coordinate plans before performing more elaborate drills. Back briefs require the fewest resources and may be the only option under time-constrained conditions. Note: the back brief must not be confused with a confirmation brief. A confirmation brief is an opportunity for subordinate leaders to verify receipt and understanding of the commander's intent and specified tasks immediately following the issuance of the order. Combined Arms Rehearsal. A combined arms rehearsal is a scripted event involving the commander, staff, and units used to identify and solve problems. A combined arms rehearsal enables the commander, staff, and subordinate units to synchronize plans, actions, and responsibilities across warfighting functions. Higher headquarters should execute a combined arms rehearsal after subordinate units not only issue their operation orders, but also have an opportunity to rehearse their individual plans. This type of rehearsal helps ensure subordinate commanders' plans achieve the higher echelon commander's intent. A combined arms rehearsal is intended to be an opportunity to synchronize actions, identify conflicts, and solve problems through the fragmentary order process. It should not be a rigidly scripted event and should have time allocated for discussion. A combined arms rehearsal may be the final opportunity for problem identification and conflict resolution prior to execution, as the entire staff and unit is exposed to the overall scheme of events. Support Rehearsal. A support rehearsal is an event focused on synchronizing each warfighting function with the overall operation. Throughout preparation, units conduct support rehearsals within the framework of a single or limited number of warfighting functions that can involve coordination and procedure drills for aviation, fires, engineer support, or casualty evacuation. Support rehearsals and combined arms rehearsals complement preparations for an operation. Units may conduct support rehearsals separately and then combine them into full dress rehearsals. Although these rehearsals differ slightly by warfighting function, they achieve the same result. Battle Drill or Standard Operating Procedure Rehearsal. A battle drill is an action units collectively and rapidly execute without applying a deliberate decision-making process. A battle drill or SOP rehearsal ensures that all participants understand a technique or a specific set of procedures. Throughout preparation, units and staffs rehearse battle drills and SOPs. These rehearsals do not need a completed order from higher headquarters. Leaders place priority on those drills or actions they anticipate occurring during the operation. For example, a transportation platoon may rehearse a battle drill on reacting to an ambush while waiting to begin movement. See Appendix E for details on command post battle drills. All echelons use these rehearsal types. However, they are most common for platoons, squads, and sections. They are conducted throughout preparation, and they are not limited to published battle drills. All echelons can rehearse actions such as a command post shift change, an obstacle breach lane marking SOP, or a refuel on the move site operation. Rehearsal techniques. Techniques for conducting rehearsals are limited only by the commander's imagination and available resources. Resources required for each technique range from narrow to broad. As listed from left to right, each successive technique takes more time and more resources. Each rehearsal technique also imparts a different level of understanding to participants. Considerations for determining the appropriate rehearsal technique include time, the amount of time required to conduct, plan, prepare, execute, and assess the rehearsal, and make changes to the plan if gaps are identified. Echelons involved, the number of echelons that can participate in the rehearsal. Operations security, OPSEC, risks. Unprotected friendly critical information observed by the enemy that can be exploited to affect the operation. Terrain, the amount of area needed for the rehearsal. Network rehearsal. Units conduct network rehearsals over wide area networks, known as WANs, or local area networks, known as LANs. Communications supporting the rehearsal may also involve radios. Commanders and staffs practice network rehearsals by talking through critical portions of the operation over communications networks in a sequence the commander establishes. The organization rehearses only the critical parts of the operation. These rehearsals require all information systems needed to execute that portion of the operation. Participants require working information systems, the op board, and graphics. Command posts can rehearse battle tracking during network rehearsals. If units provide clear SOPs, this technique can efficiently use time. However, if an organization has unclear SOPs, has units operating off the network, or has units without working communications, this technique can be time-consuming. Staffs consider and determine how to best mitigate these challenges, especially while participating in multinational operations. Unified action partners may not have access to the same networks, and organizations must determine how they can timely and effectively communicate. This technique lends itself to multi-echelon rehearsals. If a unit executes a network rehearsal from current unit locations, the OPSEC risk may increase. The enemy may monitor the increased volume of transmissions and potentially compromise information. To avoid such compromise, organizations use different frequencies from those planned for the operation. Using wire systems is an option, but this does not exercise the network systems, which is the strong point of this technique. If a network rehearsal is executed from unit locations, terrain considerations are minimal. If a separate rehearsal area is required, considerations are similar to those of a reduced force rehearsal. Map rehearsal. A map rehearsal is similar to a sketch map rehearsal, except the commander uses a map and operation overlay of the same scale used to plan the operation. Normally, it is the easiest technique to set up, since it requires only maps and graphics for current operations. Units tailor a map rehearsal's operation overlay to the echelon conducting the rehearsal. This technique requires the least terrain of all rehearsals. A good site ensures participants can easily find it, yet stay concealed from the enemy. An optimal location overlooks the terrain where the unit will execute the operation. Sketch map rehearsal. Commanders can use the sketch map rehearsal technique almost anywhere, day or night. The procedures are the same as a terrain model rehearsal, except the commander uses a sketch map in place of a terrain model. Large sketch maps ensure all participants can see the sketch map as each participant walks through execution of the operation. Participants move markers on the sketch map to represent unit locations and maneuvers. Sketch map rehearsals take less time than terrain model rehearsals and more time than map rehearsals. Units tailor a sketch map to the echelon conducting the rehearsal. Multi-echelon rehearsals using this technique are difficult. This rehearsal can present OPSEC concerns if the area around the rehearsal site is not secured. Numerous movements, assembled commanders, and an increased number of vehicles in proximity can draw enemy attention. Units must sanitize, secure, or destroy the sketch map after use. This technique requires less terrain than a terrain model rehearsal. A good site ensures participants can easily find it, yet stay concealed from the enemy. An optimal location overlooks the terrain where the unit will execute the operation. Digital terrain model rehearsal. Digital terrain models virtually represent an area of operations. Units drape high-resolution imagery over elevation data to create a fly-through or walk-through representation of the area of operations. Holographic imagery creates a three-dimensional view of the area. Often, a model links graphics, detailed information, unmanned aircraft systems, and ground imagery to key points to provide more insight into the plan. The unit geospatial engineers or imagery analysts can assist in digital model creation. The time required to create a digital three-dimensional model depends on the amount of available data on the terrain being modeled. For example, detailed models already exist for many cities and may only require updating. A digital terrain model rehearsal best suits smaller echelons, although all echelons may be provided copies of the digital model to take back to their headquarters for a more detailed examination. If not placed on a computer network, there is significantly reduced OPSEC risk because this rehearsal type does not use a large physical site that requires securing, and leaders can conduct the rehearsal undercover. However, if placed on a computer network, digital terrain models can be subject to enemy collection and exploitation due to the inherent vulnerabilities of networks. Terrain model rehearsal. The terrain model rehearsal takes less time and fewer resources than a full dress or reduced force rehearsal. An accurately constructed terrain model helps subordinate leaders visualize the commander's intent and concept of operations. When possible, commanders place the terrain model where it overlooks the actual terrain on the area of operations. The model's orientation coincides with that of the terrain. The size of the terrain model can vary from small, using markers to represent units, to large, on which the participants can walk. A large model helps reinforce the participants' perception of unit positions on the terrain. Often, constructing a terrain model consumes the most time during this technique. Units require a clear SOP that states how to build a model so it is accurate, large, and detailed enough to conduct the rehearsal. A good SOP also establishes staff responsibility for building the terrain model and a timeline for its completion. Because a terrain model is geared to the echelon conducting the rehearsal, multi-echelon rehearsals using this technique are difficult. This rehearsal may risk OPSEC compromises if the area around the rehearsal site is not secured. Assembled commanders and their vehicles can draw enemy attention. Units must sanitize the terrain model after completing the rehearsal. Good rehearsal sites have areas for training aids and references, have parking areas with cover and concealment, and can be easily secured and defended. Terrain management is less difficult with a terrain model rehearsal than with the previous rehearsal types. A good site is easy for participants to find, yet it is concealed from the enemy. An optimal location overlooks the terrain where the unit will execute the operation. Key leader rehearsal. Circumstances may prohibit a rehearsal with all members of the unit. A key leader rehearsal involves only select individuals of the organization and its subordinate units. It normally takes fewer resources than a full dress rehearsal, and it may require developing a rehearsal plan that mirrors the actual plan but fits the terrain of the rehearsal. Commanders can use this technique to rehearse fire control measures for an engagement area during defensive operations, and they often use this technique to prepare key leaders for a full dress rehearsal. A key leader rehearsal normally requires less time than a full dress rehearsal. Commanders consider how much time their subordinates need to plan and prepare when deciding whether to conduct a reduced force rehearsal. Smaller subordinate units from the echelons involved can perform a full dress rehearsal as part of a larger organization's key leader rehearsal. A key leader rehearsal is less likely to present OPSEC compromises than a full dress rehearsal because it has fewer participants and movements. Full dress rehearsal. A full dress rehearsal produces the most detailed understanding of an operation. It includes every participating soldier and system. Leaders conduct the rehearsal on terrain similar to the area of operations, initially under good light conditions and then in limited visibility. Leaders repeat small unit actions until units execute them to standard. A full dress rehearsal helps soldiers clearly understand what commanders expect of them. It helps them gain confidence in their ability to accomplish the mission. Supporting elements, such as aviation crews, meet and rehearse with soldiers to synchronize the operation. The higher echelon headquarters should also conduct, participate in, and support full dress rehearsals with all echelons involved in the operation. The full dress rehearsal is more difficult to accomplish at higher echelons, so commanders may develop an alternate rehearsal plan that mirrors the actual plan but fits the terrain available for the rehearsal. Terrain management for a full dress rehearsal is challenging. Units must identify, secure, clear, and maintain the rehearsal area. All echelons involved in the operation participate in the full dress rehearsal in some manner. Full dress rehearsals consume more time than any other rehearsal type. For companies and smaller units, full dress rehearsals most effectively ensure all units in the operation understand their roles. However, brigade and task force commanders consider how much time their subordinates need to plan and prepare when deciding whether to conduct a full dress rehearsal or not. Moving a large part of the force may prompt an OPSEC compromise by attracting unwanted enemy attention. Commanders can protect a rehearsal from enemy information collection by developing an alternate plan, including graphics and radio frequencies that rehearses selected actions without compromising the actual op-ord. Commanders must ensure that they do not confuse subordinates when taking this action. Depending on the enemy's collection capabilities, commanders may conduct deception in support of OPSEC. For example, units can create a diversion during rehearsals or stage alternate rehearsals in order to confuse the enemy and redirect collection efforts, therefore protecting critical information about the friendly operation. Rehearsal responsibilities. The following paragraphs address responsibilities for conducting rehearsals based on the combined arms rehearsal. Responsibilities are similar for other types of rehearsals. Rehearsal planning. Commanders and chiefs of staff, executive officers at lower echelons, plan rehearsals. Commander rehearsal planning role. As part of the commander's guidance during mission analysis, commanders may provide rehearsal information and guidance. When they select a course of action, they may revise the rehearsal type, rehearsal technique, location, attendees, enemy course of action to be portrayed. Chief of Staff or Executive Officer Rehearsal Planning Role. The Chief of Staff, COS, or Executive Officer, XO, ensures all rehearsals are included in the organization's time management SOP and planning timeline. The COS's or XO's responsibilities include publishing the rehearsal time and location in the op-ord or warning order, conducting staff rehearsals, determining rehearsal products based on type, technique, and mission variables, coordinating liaison officer attendance from adjacent units. Rehearsal preparation. Everyone involved in executing or supporting the rehearsal has responsibilities during preparation. Commander rehearsal preparation responsibilities. Commanders prepare to rehearse operations with events phased in order from start to finish. Under time-constrained conditions, this often proves difficult. Commanders identify and prioritize key events to rehearse, allocate time for each event, perform personal preparation, including reviews of task organization completeness, personnel and materiel readiness, organizational level of preparation. Chief of Staff or Executive Officer Rehearsal Preparation Responsibilities. The COS or XO coordinates and war games with the commander. This enables the COS or XO to prepare to lead and manage the execution of the rehearsal, coordinate times for key events requiring rehearsal, establish rehearsal time limits per the commander's guidance and mission variables, verify rehearsal site preparation. A separate rehearsal site may be required for some events, such as a possible obstacle site. A good rehearsal site includes appropriate markings and associated training aids, parking areas, security. Determine the method for controlling the rehearsal and ensuring its logical flow, such as a script. Subordinate leaders' rehearsal preparation responsibilities. Subordinate leaders complete their planning. This planning includes completing unit op ords, identifying issues derived from the higher echelon headquarters op ord, providing a copy of their unit op ord with graphics to the higher echelon headquarters, performing personal preparation similar to that of the commander, ensuring they and their subordinates bring all necessary equipment, including OPSEC during rehearsal planning. Conducting headquarters staff rehearsal preparation responsibilities. Conducting headquarters staff members have several staff rehearsal responsibilities. They develop an op ord with necessary overlays, deconflict all subordinate unit graphics. Composite overlays are the first step for leaders to visualize the organization's overall plan. Publish combined overlays at the rehearsal, including, at a minimum, movement and maneuver, intelligence, fires, sustainment, signal operations, protection. Rehearsal execution. During the rehearsal execution, the commander, COS or XO, staff assistants, subordinate leaders, recorder, and staff from the conducting headquarters have specific responsibilities. Commander rehearsal execution responsibilities. Commanders command the rehearsal just as they will command the operation. They maintain the focus and level of intensity, limiting the potential for subordinate confusion. Although the staff refines the op ord, it belongs to the commander. The commander uses the order to conduct operations. An effective rehearsal is not a commander's briefing to subordinates. It validates synchronization, the what, when, and where, of tasks that subordinate units will perform to execute the operation and achieve the commander's intent. Chief of Staff or Executive Officer Rehearsal Execution Responsibilities. Normally, the COS or XO serves as the rehearsal director. This officer ensures each unit will accomplish its tasks at the right time and cues the commander to upcoming decisions. The COS's or XO's script is the execution matrix, a visual representation of subordinate tasks, and the decision support template, a graphic depicting information required to execute a specific friendly course of action. The COS or XO as the rehearsal director validates the task organization. This validation includes checking that link-ups are complete or on schedule, and required materiel and personnel are on hand. The importance of this simple check cannot be overemphasized. Additionally, the COS or XO, as the rehearsal director, starts the rehearsal on time, conducts a formal roll call, ensures everyone brings the necessary equipment, including organizational graphics and previously issued orders, ensures synchronization of the operational framework being used, deep, close security, decisive shaping, sustaining, or main and supporting efforts, rehearses the synchronization of combat power from adjacent and higher organizations. These organizations often exceed the communications range of the commander and G3 or S3 when they are away from the command post. Synchronizes the timing and contribution of each warfighting function. For each decisive point, defines conditions required to commit the reserve or striking forces, move a unit, close or emplace an obstacle, fire at planned targets, move a medical unit, change a supply route, and alert specific observation posts. Disciplines leader movements, enforces brevity, and ensures completeness, keeps within time constraints, ensures that the most important events receive the most attention, ensures that absentees and flank units receive changes to the op ord and transmits changes to them as soon as practical, communicates the key civil considerations of the operation. Assistant Chief of Staff, G3 or S3 Rehearsal Execution Responsibilities. The Assistant COS, G3 or S3, assists the commander with the rehearsal. The G3 or S3 portrays the friendly scheme of maneuver, ensures subordinate unit actions comply with the commander's intent, normally provides the recorder. Assistant Chief of Staff, G2 or S2 Rehearsal Execution Responsibilities. The Assistant COS, G2 or S2, portrays the enemy forces and other variables of an operational environment, known as OE, during rehearsals. The G2 or S2 bases actions on the enemy course of action that the commander selected during the military decision-making process, known as MDMP. The G2 or S2 provides participants with current intelligence, portrays the best possible assessment of the enemy course of action, communicates the enemy's presumed concept of operations, desired effects, and end state, explains other factors of an operational environment that may hinder or complicate friendly actions, communicates the key civil considerations of the operation. Subordinate Leaders' Rehearsal Execution Responsibilities. Subordinate unit leaders, using an established format, effectively articulate their unit's actions and responsibilities. They also record changes on their copies of the graphics or op-board. Recorder Rehearsal Execution Responsibilities. The recorder is normally a representative from the G3 or S3 staff. During the rehearsal, the recorder captures all coordination made during execution and notes unresolved problems. At the end of the rehearsal, the recorder presents any unresolved problems to the commander for resolution, restates any changes, coordination, or clarifications directed by the commander, estimates when a written fragmentary order codifying the changes will follow. Designated Staff Rehearsal Execution Responsibilities. The staff updates the op-board, decision support template, and execution matrix. The staff updates these items based on the decisions of the commander. Rehearsal Assessment. The commander establishes the standard for a successful rehearsal. A properly executed rehearsal validates each leader's role and how each unit contributes to the overall operation. This validation includes what each unit does, when each unit does it relative to times and events, and where each unit does it to achieve desired effects. An effective rehearsal ensures commanders have a common vision of enemy forces, their own forces, the terrain, and the relationships among them. It identifies specific actions requiring immediate staff resolution and informs the higher echelon commander of critical issues or locations that the commander, COS or XO, or G3 or S3 must personally oversee. The commander, or rehearsal director in the commander's absence, assesses and critiques all parts of the rehearsal. These critiques center on how well the operation achieves the commander's intent and on the coordination necessary to accomplish that end. Usually, commanders leave the internal execution of tasks within the rehearsal to the subordinate unit commander's judgment and discretion. Conducting the rehearsal. All participants have responsibilities before, during, and after a rehearsal. Before a rehearsal, the rehearsal director states the commander's expectations and orients the other participants on details of the rehearsal as necessary. During a rehearsal, all participants rehearse their roles in the operation. They make sure they understand how their actions support the overall operation and note any additional coordination required. After a rehearsal, participants ensure that they understand any changes to the op-board and coordination requirements and that they received all updated staff products. Commanders do not normally address small problems that arise during rehearsals. Instead, the G3 or S3 recorder keeps a record of these problems. This ensures the commander does not interrupt the rehearsal's flow. If the problem remains at the end of the rehearsal, the commander solves it then. If the problem jeopardizes mission accomplishment, the staff accomplishes the coordination necessary to solve it before the participants disperse. Identifying and solving such problems is a major reason for conducting rehearsals. If commanders do not make corrections while participants are assembled, they may lose the opportunity to do so. Coordinating among dispersed participants and disseminating changes to them often proves more difficult than accomplishing these actions in person. Before the rehearsal. Before the rehearsal, the staff completes the op-ord with overlays and conducts three events: introduction and overview, orientation, rehearsal script. Introduction and overview. The rehearsal director, normally the COS or XO, calls the roll and briefs participants on information needed for execution. The briefing begins with an introduction, overview, and orientation. It includes a discussion of the rehearsal script and ground rules. The detail of this discussion is based on participants' familiarity with the rehearsal SOP. Next, the rehearsal director gives an overview of the briefing topics, rehearsal subjects, sequence, and timeline, specifying the no later than ending time. The rehearsal director explains after-action reviews, describes how and when they occur, and discusses how to incorporate changes into the op-ord. The director explains any constraints, such as pyrotechnics use, light discipline, weapons firing, or radio silence. For safety, the rehearsal director ensures all participants understand hazard controls and enforces their use. Last, the director emphasizes results and states the commander's standard for a successful rehearsal. Subordinate leaders state any results of planning or preparation, including rehearsals, they have already conducted. If a subordinate recommends a change to the op-ord, the rehearsal director acts on the recommendation before the rehearsal begins, if possible. If not, the commander resolves the recommendation with a decision, typically before the rehearsal ends. Orientation. The rehearsal director orients the participants to the terrain or rehearsal medium. The rehearsal director identifies orientation using magnetic north on the rehearsal medium and symbols representing actual terrain features. After explaining any graphic control measures, obstacles, and targets, the rehearsal director issues supplemental materials if needed. Rehearsal script. An effective means for the rehearsal director to control rehearsals is the use of a script. It keeps the rehearsal on track. The script provides a checklist so the organization addresses all warfighting functions and outstanding issues. It has two major parts, the agenda and response sequence. Agenda. An effective rehearsal follows a prescribed agenda that everyone knows and understands. This agenda includes, but is not limited to, roll call, participant orientation to the terrain, location of civilians likely to impact operations, enemy situation brief, friendly situation brief, description of expected enemy actions, discussion of friendly unit actions, a review of notes made by the recorder. The execution matrix, decision support template, and op-ord outline the rehearsal agenda. These tools, especially the execution matrix, both drive and focus the rehearsal. The commander and staff use them to control the operation's execution. Any templates, matrices, or tools developed within each of the warfighting functions should tie directly to the supported unit's execution matrix and decision support template. Examples include an intelligence synchronization matrix or fires execution matrix. An effective rehearsal realistically and quickly portrays the enemy force and other variables of an operational environment without distracting from the rehearsal. One technique for doing this has the G2 or S2 preparing an actions checklist. It lists a sequence of events, much like the one for friendly units, but from the enemy or civilian perspective. Response sequence. Participants respond in a logical sequence, either by warfighting function or by unit, as the organization deploys from front to rear. The commander determines the sequence before the rehearsal. The staff posts the sequence at the rehearsal site, and the rehearsal director may restate it. Effective rehearsals allow participants to visualize and synchronize the concept of operations. As the rehearsal proceeds, participants talk through the concept of operations. They focus on key events and the synchronization required to achieve the desired effects. The commander leads the rehearsal and gives orders during the operation. Subordinate commanders enter and leave the discussion at the time they expect to begin and end their tasks or activities during the operation. This practice helps the commander assess the synchronization. Commanders do not re-wargame unless absolutely necessary to ensure subordinate unit commanders understand the plan. The rehearsal director emphasizes integrating fires, events that trigger different branch actions, and actions on contact. The chief of fires, deputy fire support coordinator, fire support officer, or firing unit commander states when to initiate fires, who to fire them, from where the firing comes, the ammunition available, and the desired target effect. Subordinate commanders state when they initiate fires per their fire support plans. The rehearsal director speaks for any absent staff section and ensures the rehearsal addresses all actions on the synchronization matrix and decision support template at the proper time or event. The rehearsal director ensures that the rehearsal includes key sustainment and protection actions at the appropriate times. Failure to do so reduces the value of the rehearsal as a coordination tool. The staff officer with coordinating staff responsibility inserts these items into the rehearsal. Special staff officers should brief by exception when a friendly or enemy event occurs within their areas of expertise. Summarizing these actions at the end of the rehearsal can reinforce coordination requirements identified during the rehearsal. The staff updates the decision support template and gives a copy to each participant. Under time-constrained conditions, the conducting headquarters staff may provide copies before the rehearsal and rely on participants to update them with pen and ink changes. Ground rules. The rehearsal director establishes the ground rules for the rehearsal. After discussing the rehearsal script, the rehearsal director states the standard, what the commander requires, for a successful rehearsal, ensures everyone understands the parts of the op ord to rehearse. If the unit will not rehearse the entire operation, the rehearsal director states the events to be rehearsed. Quickly reviews the rehearsal SOP if all participants are not familiar with it. An effective rehearsal SOP states who controls the rehearsal, who approves the rehearsal venue and its construction, when special staff officers brief the commander, the relationship between how the execution matrix portrays events and how units rehearse events. Establishes the timeline that designates the rehearsal starting time in relation to H hour. For example, begins the rehearsal by depicting the anticipated situation 1 hour before H hour. One event executed before rehearsing the first event is deployment of forces. Establishes the time interval to begin and track the rehearsal. For example, the rehearsal director may specify that a 10-minute interval equates to 1 hour of actual time. Updates friendly and enemy activities as necessary. For example, the rehearsal director describes any ongoing reconnaissance. The rehearsal director concludes the orientation with a call for questions. During the rehearsal, Once the rehearsal director finishes discussing the ground rules and answering questions, the G3 or S3 reads the mission statement, the commander reads the commander's intent, and the G3 or S3 establishes the current friendly situation. The rehearsal then begins, following the rehearsal script. The following paragraphs outline a generic set of rehearsal steps developed for combined arms rehearsals. However, with a few modifications, these steps support any rehearsal technique. The products depend on the rehearsal type. Step 1. Deploy enemy forces. The G2 or S2 briefs on the current enemy situation and operational environment. The G2 or S2 places markers on the map or terrain board, as applicable, indicating where enemy forces and other operationally significant groups or activities would be before the first rehearsal event. The G2 or S2 then briefs the most likely enemy course of action and operational context. The G2 or S2 also briefs the status of information collection operations, for example, citing any patrols still out or any observation post positions. Step 2. Deploy friendly forces. The G3 or S3 briefs friendly maneuver unit dispositions, including security forces, as they are arrayed at the start of the operation. Subordinate commanders and other staff officers brief their unit positions and any particular points of emphasis at the starting time. For example, the chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear, known as Seaburn, officer states the mission-oriented protective posture level, and the chief of fires, deputy fire support coordinator, fire support officer, or fires unit commander states the range of friendly and enemy artillery. Other participants place markers for friendly forces, including adjacent units, at the positions they will occupy at the start of the operation. As participants place markers, they state their task and purpose, task organization, and strength. Sustainment and protection units brief positions, plans, and actions at the starting time and at points of emphasis the rehearsal director designates. Subordinate units may include forward arming and refueling points, refuel on the move points, communications checkpoints, security points, or OPSEC procedures that differ for any period during the operation. The rehearsal director restates the commander's intent if necessary. Step 3. Initiate action. The rehearsal director states the first event on the execution matrix. Normally, this involves the G2 or S2 moving enemy markers according to the most likely course of action. The depiction must tie enemy actions to specific terrain or to friendly unit actions. The G2 or S2 portrays enemy actions based on the situation template developed for staff wargaming. As the rehearsal proceeds, the G2 or S2 portrays the enemy and other operational factors and walks through the most likely enemy course of action, per the situation template. The G2 or S2 stresses reconnaissance routes, objectives, security force composition and locations, initial contact, initial fires, including artillery, air, and attack helicopters, probable main force objectives or engagement areas, and likely commitment of reserve forces. Step 4. Reach decision points. When the rehearsal director determines that a particular enemy movement or reaction is complete, the commander assesses the situation to determine if a decision point has been reached. Decision points are taken directly from the decision support template. If the commander determines the unit is not at a decision point and not at the end state, the commander directs the rehearsal director to continue to the next event on the execution matrix. Participants use the response sequence and continue to act out and describe their unit's actions. When the rehearsal reaches conditions that establish a decision point, the commander decides whether to continue with the current course of action or select a branching course of action. If electing the current course of action, the commander directs the rehearsal director to move to the next event in the execution matrix. If selecting a branch, the commander states the reason for selecting that branch, states the first event of that branch, and continues the rehearsal until the organization has rehearsed all events of that branch. As the unit reaches decisive points, the rehearsal director states the conditions required for success. When it becomes obvious that the operation requires additional coordination to ensure success, participants immediately begin coordinating. This is one of the key reasons for rehearsals. The rehearsal director ensures that the recorder captures the coordination and any changes and ensures that all participants understand the coordination. Step 5. Achieve end state. Achieving the desired end state completes that phase of the rehearsal. In an attack, this will usually be when the unit is on the objective and has finished consolidation and casualty evacuation. In the defense, this will usually be after the decisive action, such as committing the reserve or striking force, the final destruction or withdrawal of the enemy, and casualty evacuation is complete. In stability tasks, this usually occurs when a unit achieves the targeted progress within a designated line of effort. Step 6. Reset. At this point, the commander states the next branch to rehearse. The rehearsal director resets the situation to the decision point where that branch begins and states the criteria for a decision to execute that branch. Participants assume those criteria have been met and then conduct the operation along that branch until they attain the desired end state. They complete any coordination needed to ensure all participants understand and can meet any requirements. The recorder records any changes to the branch. The commander then states the next branch to rehearse. The rehearsal director again resets the situation to the decision point where that branch begins, and participants repeat the process. This continues until the rehearsal has addressed all decision points and branches that the commander wants to rehearse. If the standard is not met and time permits, the commander directs participants to repeat the rehearsal. The rehearsal continues until participants are prepared or until the time available expires. Commanders may allocate more time for a rehearsal, but they must assess the effects on subordinate commanders' preparation time. Successive rehearsals, if conducted, should be more complex and realistic. At the end of the rehearsal, the recorder restates any changes, coordination, or clarifications that the commander directed and estimates how long it will take to codify changes in a written fragmentary order. After the rehearsal. After the rehearsal, the commander leads an after-action review. The commander reviews lessons learned and makes the minimum required modifications to the existing plan. Normally, a fragmentary order affects these changes. Changes should be refinements to the op ord. They should not be radical or significant. Changes not critical to the operation's execution may confuse subordinates and hinder the synchronization of the plan. The commander issues any last-minute instructions or reminders and reiterates the commander's intent. Based on the commander's instructions, the staff makes any necessary changes to the op ord, decision support template, and execution matrix based on the rehearsal results. Subordinate commanders incorporate these changes into their unit's op ords. The COS or XO ensures the changes are briefed to all leaders or liaison officers who did not participate in the rehearsal. The rehearsal provides the final opportunity for subordinates to identify and fix unsolved problems. The staff ensures that all participants understand any changes to the op ord, and the recorder captures all coordination done at the rehearsal. All changes to the published op ord are, in effect, verbal fragmentary orders. As soon as possible, the staff publishes each verbal fragmentary order as a written fragmentary order that changes the published op ord. Conclusion. Army units must rehearse expected actions to improve performance during execution. All personnel involved must understand their own roles and the roles of those around them to sufficiently prepare for operations. Furthermore, if the situation requires, they must be able to assume the role of their supervisor or other leaders in the chain of command. It is therefore imperative that all personnel involved understand the mission, commander's intent, scheme of operations, and desired end state.